It's Monday, September 18th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Protests in St. Louis, Missouri over the acquittal of a white police officer and the shooting death of a black man turned violent late Friday as demonstrators clashed with riot gear-clad cops and surrounded the home of the city's mayor, reports Fox News. Members of a crowd of about 1,000 broke at least 2 windows at the home of Mayor Lyda Crewson and threw red paint at the brick house before riot police moved in to disperse the crowd with tear gas, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. President Donald Trump's tough talk on illegal immigration was a big part of the reason his bid for the presidency gained such momentum, reports the LA Times. Trump shifted last week in an apparent compromise with the Democrats to allow the 1,700,000 children of illegal immigrants, the so-called Dreamers, to stay in the country. The Dreamers are comprised of those living in the country under the age of 31 who came to the U.S. as children, who do not have a criminal record, who have served in the military, or are currently attending or have graduated from high school or college. Just weeks ago, at a Phoenix, Arizona campaign rally, the president said the sole route to legal status for those living in the U.S. illegally would be to, quote, return home and apply for reentry like everybody else, unquote. Conservative columnist Ann Coulter, author of Adios America, who was an early endorser of Trump, is aghast, tweeting, quote, I bet on a loser. At this point, who does not want Trump impeached? Unquote. A new Public Religion Research Institute study has shown that the majority of white evangelicals believe that a politician who acts immorally in his private life is still able to conduct himself ethically in his public life, reports Relevant Magazine. When the survey was conducted in 2011, only 30% of white evangelicals said that a politician who acted immorally could still be a good public leader. Last year, however, in 2016, the same survey found that that percentage of white evangelicals jumped all the way to 72%. The Bible takes issue with their unbiblical conviction. James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Last Thursday, popular conservative author Ben Shapiro dazzled the audience at the University of California at Berkeley when he rapidly refuted a young man's pro-abortion arguments, reports Life News. During the question and answer period in the sold-out auditorium, a young man asked, quote, why do you think a first trimester fetus has human value, unquote, explaining that he believes sentience, or the capacity to feel, perceive, or experience, is what makes humans valuable.
The problem is anytime you draw any line other than the inception of the child, you end up drawing a false line that can also be applied to people who are adults. So either human life has intrinsic value or it doesn't. I think we both agree that adult human life has intrinsic value. Can we start from that premise?
I believe that sentience is what gives something moral value, not necessarily being a human alone.
So when you're asleep, can I stab you?
I'm still considered sentient when I'm asleep.
Okay, if you are in a coma from which you may awake, can I stab you?
Well then, no, I guess not.
I'm glad you answered that, because I have no interest in actually murdering you.
But that's still potential sentience, and it's still a potential...
I agree, it is potential sentience. You know what else is potential sentience? Being a fetus. Yeah.
Conservative radio talk show host Laura Ingraham is now getting her own weekday show on Fox News Channel. Here's the new lineup. Tucker Carlson, Hannity, followed by Laura Ingraham. Broadcaster Larry King revealed last Wednesday that he was diagnosed with stage 1 lung cancer, which was caught through a chest x-ray, leading to successful surgery this summer. It was discovered during his annual x-ray because of his previous heart attack and heart surgery. Rosie O'Donnell's ex-wife, Michelle Rounds, was found dead in her home last Monday of an apparent suicide at the age of 46, reports MSN.com. Rosie said, quote, I am saddened to hear about this terrible tragedy. Mental illness is a very serious issue affecting many families. My thoughts and prayers go out to Michelle's family, her wife, and their child, unquote. Rosie and Michelle rejected biblical counsel and started dating in 2011 and went through a faux marriage ceremony in June 2012. They broke up in November 2014, and Rosie filed for divorce in February 2015. 7 months after they made their unnatural relations official in the eyes of the state, Rosie and Michelle adopted their daughter, Dakota, who is now 4 years old. 1 Corinthians 7:2 says, "But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband." Christian apologist Nabil Qureshi died on Saturday after battling advanced stomach cancer for the last year. Stay tuned for a detailed look at his life and legacy in my special report immediately following the newscast. And finally, Houston Texans All-Pro defensive end J.J. Watt's online fundraiser to aid flood victims of Hurricane Harvey, which started with a goal of $200,000, closed out at more than $37 million, reports Good News Network. The money from 209,430 donors purchased supplies that filled 12 semi-trucks, which Watts and his teammates helped to distribute in the aftermath of the hurricane. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Monday, September 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Time now for a Worldview special report. I'm Adam McManus. Popular evangelist Nabil Qureshi, who once sought Allah, has now found Jesus face to face. He died Saturday of stomach cancer, reports Christianity Today. Qureshi was born and raised in the United States to a devout Pakistani Muslim family and had finished the Quran by the time he was 5 years old. He met his match when he attended Old Dominion University in Virginia and met David Wood. Qureshi challenged Wood's Christian faith when he saw him reading a Bible by himself. Thus began a 2.5-year period where the pair challenged each other on the doctrines of their faiths. Eventually, Qureshi realized his arguments for Islam crumbled under the evidence for Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and divinity. But it wasn't just the physical evidence that convinced Qureshi. He had 3 prophetic dreams about Christ that eventually won him over. Qureshi accepted Christ as his Savior and faced the difficult task of telling his parents. He said, quote, "When my parents did find out, it was probably the most painful day of my life. To have Christ in my life makes every loss worth it," unquote. He went on to study Christian apologetics at Biola University while also getting his medical degree from Eastern Virginia Medical School. He later completed a degree in religion at Duke University and entered a Ph.D. program in New Testament Studies at Oxford University. Qureshi became an itinerant speaker with Ravi Zacharias' international ministry. Qureshi published 3 books, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, A Devout Muslim Encounters Christianity, Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward, and No God But One, Allah or Jesus? A former Muslim investigates the evidence for Islam and Christianity. Listen to a brief clip from one of his Christian talks in which he indicates that he was willing to count the cost to follow Christ even after he was virtually disowned by his Muslim parents.
The resurrection happened. Jesus claimed to be God, then he died on the cross and he proved it by rising from the dead. God died on the cross. That God who made the universe suffered that death because he loves us that much. That is the Christian message. That is worth believing. Now, if you ask me, Nabil, you had a perfect life. You had a family that loves you. You were becoming a doctor. You had a good place in society. Everything was great for you. Was it worth it? Absolutely, it was worth it. I would do it 100 times over again. My mom and dad didn't come to my wedding. Every single time I see a video of a son dancing with his mother at his wedding, I have to think that it was worth it. Every time I see parents lovingly hug their children and say, "We're proud of you," I have to think it was worth it. Because it was worth it. And if I have to die the same kind of death that Christ died in order to proclaim this message of hope to other people who are here, that would be the greatest honor I could ever have. You know, we sent one missionary per million Muslims into the rest of the world over the past few decades, and God looked at us and said, well, since you're not going, we're going to bring them here. And so he brought Muslims to Denver, Colorado. There's tons of them. And you are here. God left us here for the specific purpose of loving others and leading them to Christ and sharing God's love with them and letting them know what it means to be loved by God. That is why we're here. That is why we're here. And God equips us to do that. And there's hope and purpose and peace and love in that. And that is the gospel.
Qureshi made the official announcement of his cancer diagnosis in August 2016. He said this in a Facebook post, quote, "This is an announcement that I never expected to make, but God, in his infinite and sovereign wisdom, has chosen me for this refining, and I pray he will be glorified through my body and my spirit. My family and I have received the news that I had advanced stomach cancer, and the prognosis is quite grim," unquote. In the last video before his death, he said he hoped he leaves behind a legacy of love, saying, quote, "As you consider my ministry, I hope it leaves a message of love, of peace, of truth, of caring for one another. Our God is a God of love," unquote. In summary, I'd like to cite the words of Christ himself from Matthew 16:24. "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." It's my prayer that you will be inspired by the life of Nabil Qureshi, who was transformed by the life of Christ. This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.